You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, the Chiefs back at practice again today as they get set to take on the Texans. We were just having a conversation during the Chiefs Red Half Hour about Damian Pierce and going up against his old team and how overblown that might be, but we all agree that if he's going to have any impact this week or beyond, it would be in the return game.
Yeah.
Dave Tobe did just say a couple minutes ago that Damian Pierce has been working at kick returner behind the scenes.
Okay.
So maybe there's an opportunity for him to return some kicks, Cody, on Sunday against his old team. I'm open to that is for sure.
The open portion of practice won't take place until a little bit later today, so we won't know whether what Jawan Taylor or Trey Smith are out on the field. We'll find out more later and obviously keep you up to date on that as well. Next up on What's Trending, Dallas at Detroit tonight.
Great
for
one.
Thursday night football, very similar to the Chiefs and Texans game, as in the playoff probability percentage for either team craters with a loss and takes a nice boost forward with a win. So obviously a great game tonight. These are two teams who have struggled more on defense this year. Dallas obviously has had one of the worst defenses, although quite a bit better with Quinnen Williams there as well, though Kansas City with the ball against them up until later in the game. So Dallas and Detroit for Thursday Night Football, big game.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one tonight.
I think there's another boost if you guys are trying to get some free money.
If you happen to be on the Missouri side of the state line today, you might want to log in the old FanDuel app. Might want to do that. Elsewhere on What's Trending in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo, we all know yesterday the big story was about his agent and his team, you know, trying to engage in conversations with the Bucks about trade possibilities moving forward. Well, maybe a little bit of a setback, though, after last night. He's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks with a calf strain. Now, the deadline's not happening in a week or something, so there is a little bit of runway here, but something to keep an eye on. It feels like Giannis recognizes the situation of that franchise, which is they're paying Damian Lillard like $20 million a year for the next 5 years.
They're years away.
They have no draft picks. It's not happening there in terms of winning a title, and why waste your prime and all that? So, of course, the early favorites are the Knicks, the Spurs, and the Spurs would be fascinating. Wimby with Giannis?
Feels more like an offseason trade. And I'm going to say Spurs are very, very, very good. Thunder winning the championship, right?
Well,
I mean, isn't this already a wrap?
They just look too good. Yeah.
It's too good.
Yeah. It's never that simple, but yes, they
the win record.
They look like they will absolutely be right there at the end of the
game. It is interesting, though. The Warriors started out 22-0, lost the championship.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. Next up on What's Trending, Colin Klein is expected to be named K-State's head coach, which we mentioned yesterday, but most reporting that it could be as early as today, with a press conference taking place Friday or Saturday possible. I know that Gene Taylor yesterday said, oh, no, we haven't started that process yet. I think we all know that that's probably not true, but don't be surprised if at some point today they make the Colin Klein hiring official, or tomorrow official. They obviously did not want to step on Klieman's retirement announcement yesterday.
Lastly, on What's Trending, tomorrow we'll be carrying some of this live. Tomorrow's big day for the World Cup, FIFA 2026. We all know Kansas City is going to host multiple matches. We won't find out exactly who's playing in what matches, but we're going to find out the group pairings. It is draw day. Exciting times. A cool event going on at P&L tomorrow as well. So we'll have a little more soccer coverage tomorrow during our fan club Friday. We're going to have Rob Britton, who's one of the biggest soccer fans in the building. Spec, same thing applies. And Scott Parks, who's got a big soccer background as well. So we'll be talking a lot about that. Now, Messi said he's still non-committal on the 2026 World Cup, whether he's going to play for Argentina or not. But we shall see. And we'll get a little more excitement tomorrow. We're, 187, 188 days or so away from the World Cup.
I saw all the bus routes and everything. They've got all their plans to get people down there. Because, again, you're not going to be able to park down there.
Massive transportation plan. We all know that this city doesn't have the best public transportation. And so they had to come up with a brand new plan. And it looks very impressive. We'll see if it all works. But it looks really impressive with what they're trying to do. Having routes consistently from downtown up to the airport, from Overland Park to the airport, from Independence Center to, or not Overland Park to the airport, Overland Park to downtown, Independence Center to the, around the stadium, all kinds of different plans.
I still think I just like go on Vrbo, go on a vacation.
You have a house, so you should.
My house up for rent. It's like they're saying you can make like 10 grand.
See, I can't because my apartment lease, I'm pretty sure it's against the law or breaks the lease or whatever for me to do what you were suggesting. Sure. You own your house, though. You can do it. Unless you're HOA.
What do you think I can get? It's a three bed, four
bath. For a month? For the whole month?
Yeah.
I think you can make
2 weeks. Let's say half of the time. Three bed, four bath. That's the house.
$3,000 to $4,000 at least.
It's got many decks.
I don't know if that appeals to the $3,000 to $4,000. And then what? Will you just go live with Drew? What would
I just
you
go
do?
Go live with him as parents, probably.
No, I think it's only right if you go live with Kramer. Because
Go live up north. Right. Go way up and north.
I think it's only right.
The truth is, I think I'd take a vacation for a week, week and a half or something. I just go out of town. Mm-hmm. And then for the following week, I'd just try to see if I could stay with the in-laws or something. Mm. Yeah. We could split part of the cash. I'll give him 20%.
If it was not something that would, if it was something that wouldn't ruin my lease, I would love to just say, all right, rent the apartment for a month and I'll crash
with Drew.
Well, yeah. I'd go back to my parents for $5,000 or something. Hell yeah.
What's the appropriate cut? Let's say I was going to make $5,000 to rent it for 3 weeks and I needed to stay with him for 2 weeks. Let's say I was going to go out of town for a week.
Yes.
I got to stay with him for 2 weeks. I rent my place for 3 weeks. And I was going to make $5,000. What's the appropriate cut for the people I got to live with for 2 weeks? $1,000.
Well, if it's your in-laws, nothing.
Oh, okay, great.
It's family.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, you know, family. I'm making a bunch of cash.
If it's a friend, then yeah, you got to work out a deal. If it's family, I think it's family.
Someone's
you take them out to a nice dinner or something.
$1,000 a night. Now we're talking. Now we're talking like
Texter. I must ask, what kind of property you own? Oh, where you think you're getting $1,000
a night?
I need to know what. I mean, I need to know what house you got. I need to know where it's at. I need to know. What I need to know exactly the specs here.
My house is worth that, then I am moving out of my house for a month. I'm getting that thing on Vrbo immediately.
Nobody's paying
Airbnb immediately.
Nobody's paying look, Cody, you have a very nice home. $1,000 a night? You're out of your damn mind.
The Ritz-Carlton at that point.
No. $1,000 a night?
How much, an average hotel is like what, like 130?
Well, during the World Cup, it's going to be way more than that during the World Cup.
So I would just say
hotels are going to be.
I would say you take let's say $200 a night, but you're in a house instead of a room. I don't know, $1,000 I think is a stretch, but I mean I think you could pull $500 a night potentially. You might be able to get $10,000 out of it.
I'm just going to look up right now. Let's look up the dates. Let's. Does anybody know what dates Kansas City's are next June? Right.
Yeah.
So give me a date range, Gold. And then we can get to the Chiefs here in just a second. I'm curious.
Yeah, so the group stage, the first day is Tuesday, June 16th. Okay. There's matches that Saturday the 20th, Thursday the 25th, all the way through Saturday the 27th of June is group stage. And then there's still round of 32, which is on July 3rd. And then there's quarterfinal July 11th. So technically, you could rent it out from like June 11th to July 12th or something.
I'm just going to...
A month.
I'm going to say four people stay... let's see.
Someone says some cities like Shawnee and others have passed laws limiting short-term rentals. So them said they wanted to rent out their house for the whole month. They're not allowed to.
Okay, so I set it for the date range of June 16th through June 27th. So an 11-night stay, right? We're just staying for the early stages, not the knockout round. Here is a house with the same number of bedrooms and bathrooms of mine in the Northland. They're asking $4,000 for 11 nights.
Okay.
This one in Prairie Village, three bed, three bath, is asking for $5,661 for 11 nights. This one in Westwood is asking for almost $8,000 for 11 nights, three bed, three bath.
You might be able to really, Cody, you might be able to legitimately catch. Somebody said from the 316, they just rented a house in Scottsdale in February. Cheapest they could find was $400 a night.
That's Scottsdale. I mean,
no, I know.
Now we're not even talking about the same thing, though. Nobody's saying that that Airbnbs can't be $1,000 a night in some places and right events.
Here's one in Waldo. They're asking for $4,000. It's only two bedrooms, three bathrooms.
If you're asking for, but if a hotel is, if a hotel is $250 and that's one room.
Yeah.
I think if you got to rent out a house and you just
say, to feel like I could rent it out for these 11 days and make $4,000.
You gotta check with your city and see if you're allowed to.
If you rented it out for a month, I bet you could make at least $10,000 if you rented it out for a full month.
Anyway.
Based on those rates.
Someone says show derailed. Yes, it has been. Well, tomorrow we will talk more about this, I promise you, because tomorrow is draw day for World Cup 2026. And we will certainly be focusing in on that throughout the show then. Someone says it depends. You really want how many people are coming to the house. That's true. Like, you just don't, like, I mean, you're literally.
You can set a guest limit.
Yeah. And you're going to track that how?
You
going to go knock on the door, Cody?
Trust, I guess. Huh? No.
Yeah.
No, just trust.
It sounds like some of these people do not want people in their house.
There's part of me that wouldn't want it, but it depends if you think the money is worth it or not. But yeah. Having literally, I mean, just flat out strangers from another country living in your house for a month or whatever.
It would be.
This
would
was
be
only 11
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
If you did the full month, I do think you could probably get, like Drew said, $8,000-$10,000.
So what's at that price, Cody? You could get someone other than your wife to load the Christmas tree and take it inside.
They put it on top of the car. We drove it home, you know.
Yeah.
Just didn't get the rest of it. Let's talk a little Chiefs. You and I. I had tossed something out before the show, and it turns out you and I were in agreement, which isn't always the case, the nature of the business.
Right.
I was thinking more about the game, and I understand that a huge talking point is going to be Wanya Morris might play left tackle, and Jalen Moore might play right tackle, and this is one of the best defenses in the league with one of the best pass rushes, and it's easy to get hung up on that. I think this is a much bigger game for the defense. I think it is more important that the defense plays well to win this game than the offense plays well to win this game. And I think that there's something really to the idea that it's just a bigger, more important game for them. They're also coming off a bad game and Trent McDuffie's worst game and a month of November in which they recorded a single one sack for the whole damn month. Pressure's on them on Sunday, not on the offense. Pressure's on the defense to win them this football game. Like they won them some football games last year. And a couple of other times. The offense has won more games this year than the defense has.
They have. I think part of it is, are we conceding a little bit that the offense is going to at times struggle against that defensive front? I think we kind of are, based off of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and the fact that it could be Wanya Morris and Jalen Moore as your tackles. We don't know if Trey Smith's going to play. So I think we all recognize that is the key matchup of the game and how ugly does it get. But yeah, you and I are in agreement. We talked before the show on the defensive side. Where can Kansas City have the biggest impact in the game to hopefully counteract a little bit of what the Texans defense can do? And if the Chiefs are going to win this game, it's going to be because their defense, the Chiefs defense, is able to slow down CJ Stroud and a Texans offense that I don't think is all that impressive. And so that is the difference. We know the issues with getting pressure on the quarterback, but CJ Stroud has not been good this year. If Kansas City wins on Sunday and we're on the show Monday, if we're talking about that scenario playing out, it likely means that the Texans offense was held to like 20 points or 21 points or something like that. I don't think the Chiefs win this. If you tell me that the Texans get to 27 or 28, the Chiefs aren't winning this game.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that's why it's such a, I think that's why it's so important. I think it's why it's so important to have the defense show up in this. And look, the pass rush is what I'm talking about here. Let's just, and Trent McDuffie needs to not get worked over by Nico Collins and not have back-to-back bad games. Well, I've watched Trent McDuffie play quite a bit in his career at this point. I've seen him have two, I think, awful games. One was, and someone correctly reminded me of it on Monday, the game against Cortland Sutton a few years ago where, for whatever reason, Cortland Sutton beat him to death. And in this last game against CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, where he got beat up pretty bad. And so that's his entire career? Well, then, yeah, I am optimistic that they'll be able to do it. But that goes back to what you said about the Texans' offense. What about their offense scares you? Going into the year, I would have answered Nico Collins, and he has not been a no-show. He's not like a bad wide receiver. He's got 700 or 800 yards. But he looks like he's just going to comfortably settle into what Jerry Jeudy was at the end there in Denver, or these other like Amari Cooper, that's maybe too high. These like 1,000-yard types in a 17-game schedule, which are perfectly fine wide receivers, but not the kind of talent they just saw against CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, who feel like they're going to get you. Nico hasn't been that this year. He's the only player in offense that even strikes a little fear into your heart. It's not the run game.
Tight end is Dalton Schultz. The run game's not been all that impressive. It's a combination of old Nick Chubb, and then Woody Marks at times has flashed and looked decent. C.J. Stroud is the biggest, you know, difference maker on that offense, and he just, for a variety of reasons, I guess, has not been the same quarterback here in 2025 as he was a year ago.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When they played in the playoffs, it was last year, wasn't it? Didn't Dalton Schultz have a really good day? I know Tank Dell got hurt because I think CJ, I don't know how good
that was,
but
a regular season. That was a regular season. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but whatever.
But yeah,
I think Schultz had a good game in that one.
Yeah, tight ends have still been a bit of a problem for Kansas City.
I just wonder because I think CJ Stroud now it seems like Higgins in particular has really developed as that top pick, and then Nico, of course. But I think CJ's used Dalton Schultz a lot since he got drafted by them.
Yeah, I think last year Dalton Schultz had a really nice season. This year, if you're wondering, just 552 in a touchdown, it looks like.
So a perfectly fine season, but not something that like terrifies you on that end. Again, they're not a scary team. I just think the defense has got to have a really
the defense
good
game. Is scary. Their offense. Yeah. I mean, the offense is not scary for Houston. That defense is terrifying, considering the offensive line problems the Chiefs are going to have.
They
looks
have an
like
elite level corner, other good defensive backs, and an elite level defensive line. They're the number one points per game defense for a reason. And it's not just schedule.
All right, let's get to all 32 before we talk fantasy football at 12:30 with Paul Charchian, as fantasy football playoffs start next week for most people. I guess everybody's league's a little different, but
next week for us.
Big week, big week. I'm on the fence on multiple leagues, man. I got a win and a couple to sneak in as a final seed, I think, plus still going in guillotine league. But all 32 for me, this is kind of different. I saw this from PFT, Pro Football Talk, and this is kind of nerdy for a second, but I thought it was fascinating because it involves Patrick Mahomes. And so Carnegie Mellon University has a study that is focusing on the unpredictable nature of the timing before snap. So like pre-snap motion. And so there's this professor there that was using advanced statistical modeling with like 2,000 players, player tracking, etc. And they found that quarterbacks who vary their timing between pre-snap and the snap of the ball have a greater overall success. And you might be saying, well, no kidding, right? Unpredictable should make it harder for defenses, right? But it's the first time anybody's done a study. The actual study said quarterbacks who vary the time between receiver pre-snap motion and the ball snap face less defensive pressure or havoc, like sacks or interceptions. This is because it allows defenses to anticipate the snap. But what reason why I'm bringing up in Kansas City is the study found that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, over the 2,000 players part of this study, are the two best at engineering this, as in being more unpredictable.
Is there any thought that maybe that's what causes some of the false starts?
I mean, it doesn't go into that. It's claiming that their overall performance is better.
That's really interesting.
Because of how unpredictable the timing is when they snap the ball with pre-snap motion.
I think a lot of what this points out is the greats are great at everything. Like the all-time greats, they're great at things you didn't even think about being great at, Gold. Did you at any point ever consider the fact that Patrick Mahomes was better at snap as it relates to pre-snap motion, and the only guy who does it better than him is Tom Brady? And, it just so happens to be two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live? No, I wouldn't even think about being good at that. But it's just one of those.
I mean, I don't think it's some fluky thing. I think it is a skill. Like
I agree.
I don't think this is just like, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, I think there is a bit of an art to obviously what Brady and Mahomes and others do pre-snap.
We haven't had a lot of firings in the NFL. I want to talk about the coaching cycle that will eventually take place in the NFL. Hasn't been a lot of mid-year fires, a couple. so far this year. And something Adam Schefter said that I think is really true, as in, right now, Gold, if I said, hey, who are the hot OCs who are going to get coaching jobs? Last year, you would have named the two or three right off top. You'd have said Ben Johnson, sure. Liam Cohen. You knew the names. Mm-hmm. It's because there aren't those names this year, which is why I think Marcus Freeman's going to end up with an NFL job. I think Marcus Freeman's going to end up coaching the college football playoff this year, and I think he's going to bolt for the NFL.
You're throwing more gas on the coaching carousel in college football.
Notre Dame
opens up.
I think someone's going to pay him a lot of money to be the NFL guy. And if I'm a college coach, this is a huge thing. This is way different than even the Lane Kiffin thing. If I'm Marcus Freeman, I see an NFL job I like, and I go take it, I can go back to any major college program I want. Like, if a different job opened up and the NFL's not working out, Saban went right to Alabama after leaving LSU. You can just go back to any job you want.
I agree with you that Marcus Freeman will have interest from teams, and eventually I think he will be an NFL head coach. Why do you think this offseason, though?
Because I don't think that there are any hot coordinators.
But why would he want to leave now? You know what I mean? Also, it has to, like, why would, like, he's still, what, 38? 39
I think that's also the appeal in my mind. You're young and you can take this risk now, and you can always go back to being an all-time great. And he's not that now, but like,
so who's what's
college? Open, you can bounce back.
Let's think
all
about
the time.
If you're him though, landing with good organizations.
Which team
would you want? So the Titans have an opening already. The Giants have an opening. I think Arizona, we would agree, is probably going to open up. I think they're going to fire what's his name, Gannon.
Gannon
out Charlie there. Gannon. Who else are we missing, guys? I don't think the Jets are going to fire Aaron Glenn, but I guess there's a chance.
I think you can put it on the possible list.
Who are we missing? The Raiders? Could they go one and done with Pete Carroll?
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Bengals potentially.
Okay, yeah, Bengals.
Bengals is definitely one.
There's a lot of iffy ones.
Bengals opened up, and you told Marcus Freeman he can have Joe Burrow as his quarterback.
Oh, excuse me. Heck yeah, I would do
that. Are you sure he wouldn't take that? I'd take that.
I like it
because
of
the cheap owner.
I like it for the player, but is that the front office I want to work with?
I don't know, man. It's just like one of those.
Like, that's a real thing.
Like, it's for the same reason I think Nagy will get a real look and Kafka will get a real look and some of these other guys, just because I don't feel like Mike LaFleur. I don't think it's the same list of
Kubiak up in Seattle will get looks
we're used to. Who else is going to have an opening? Falcons?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Atlanta. I think Raheem Morris is done.
Yeah so
I think
Atlanta,
he's getting fired. So that's four, and then like two. If there's always
maybe
four.
Maybe Miami.
Five. Yeah. So there's a lot of fringe ones. We don't know for sure. We know
maybe
definitively.
The Browns.
Yeah, there's a lot of... We could go from either only having four to all of a sudden there's seven or eight openings.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I'm just listening to ones that
I agree with you that Marcus Freeman, at some point, I will not be shocked at all. I think he will be an NFL head coach. I just don't know if it's this offseason or not.
I have no idea. It depends on his priorities. I will say Notre Dame opens up. Woo! Pouring gasoline on the coaching carousel.
You know, there's a guy named Brian Kelly. He seems like a good fit there.
Absolutely not. No chance. Mine, I actually want to give Cody some credit on the... On this topic,
I'm all
so
ears now.
I don't know if any. I do not know if any of you saw this, but Red Zone, they ran some news, some updates on the advertisement thing that Cody talked about. Thinking as he's just going to get more and more, we're not even going to know it.
Right.
16 advertisements came out during Week 13 slate of games. 5 minutes in total sponsored segments during the broadcast.
It'll be 500 before you know it.
Initially, it was only 1 minute. Of ad time for 15 second ads and said it's 15 now. So our boss Spec said it's terrible and he noticed it.
No.
It's only going to continue, Cody. I got to give you credit for that because you called it. You called it.
Agree.
You called
I paid
it.
For a service. You advertised it as commercial free. You told me it's only a minute and I knew you were going to slowly sneak more in and hope nobody noticed. It's 5 minutes now or 15 minutes now. It'll be 45 minutes by the end of...
We just jumped to 15 minutes all of a sudden.
It'll be 45 minutes by the end of the next 2 years. Mm. It will be... And it'll replace... And here's when you'll get mad. When it starts replacing action, they come back and be like, oh, we just missed a...
Like full-screen commercials you're talking about.
George Kittle touchdown. Yeah, so. Let me go back and show you that. Don't worry. We still show you every touchdown. We just don't show you live anymore, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, we did talk about this in August and September. And we all agree, by the way, that... This is probably trending towards a Netflix model, which is you're going to pay an extra $5. We're already paying, but an extra $5 where then you won't get any ads. I agree with you, and that sucks. That's the reality of where we're trending. I still will push back on this idea that it's just everybody is like, I didn't even notice it was an increase on Sunday, Cody. And I watched you like this. Like if all of a sudden they had terms and ESPN ruined it now that they own part of NFL Network or whatever, and there's certain games they just stop showing and all that, then it's a problem. 7 hours, 5 minutes commercial. 7 hours,
that doesn't
5 minutes of commercial.
Banner ads or anything else?
Wait, is that...
And the commercials are usually going split screen. The game is right there. Or the only time I hate it, and it's 15 seconds, They go DraftKings ad and scoreboard me for 15 seconds. 15 seconds. I'm not arguing with you guys that, like, yes, in a perfect world, we don't have any commercials and it is annoying. I would just say we said the same thing has happened with Netflix. Why do we think this was never going to happen with Red Zone? Why are they immune?
Are you, Cody, is Gold writing the script for what Scott Hansen's going to open with next year? 7 hours, 5 minutes of ads, and you know what? Yes. Only some of them are going to be.
Here's the part that, again, that stands out. Is that I had to argue with people when they announced it was a minute, like, oh, look at you cry, baby.
I still
it's
think
be a whole minute of commercials.
Oh, I still think
and
people are making
it.
And
then someone's going to say it when it's 30 minutes. They're like, it's only 30 minutes. It's 7 hours. Relax.
Yeah.
And then it's 2 hours, and the whole damn thing's commercials.
So
I pay for it.
I still think people are making too big of a deal about this and acting like it's the end of the world, for starters. Number two, I know you're exaggerating on purpose, but, like, They're not going to have 30 minutes of commercials. Come on, stop. Then we would be missing games. That's why we won't get to that point. I'm worried more about the content changing, where they're going to all That's of a fair. Sudden, where they're all of a sudden going to say, oh, actually, Fox has this game exclusively. We're no longer allowed to, like, show it or something crazy. That's when it'll be a problem. I still love Red Zone. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. And this Sunday's a great Red Zone day.
This last Sunday.
This Sunday, there's divisional major playoff implications across the board. And the Chiefs don't play till Sunday Night Football, so you can sit back and
relax
and work. But, like, I get it if you're saying the model stinks. It's the same thing with Netflix. We're paying for Netflix more to avoid commercials. I pay for the one that has ads still because I'm not paying more. And this doesn't drive me as much crazy as much because I'll wait 90 seconds to get to the next part of my Netflix show for not having to pay more money. Like, I don't care. Like, maybe this is me working in radio where we have commercials, so I'm like, it's just part of the deal, pay the bills. I don't know.
Sure. Maybe. Anyway. All right. It bothers me more than you, I guess.
Up next. You're not alone. I'm not saying you're alone at all. I think a lot of people agree with you and disagree with me on this. All right, up next, let's talk some fantasy football. Paul Charchian, playoff time right around the corner. What should you do? Anybody you can add on the waiver wire?
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
That's next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes or so, but it is time to talk some fantasy football with our guy Paul Charchin, a fantasy football Hall of Famer. He is brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Charch, playoffs for most leagues, I feel like, start next week. I got one that maybe we wait another week or so. On the fringe here, what advice do you have? Like, people shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel here in the last week.
Could not disagree more.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Let me hear it.
I mean, you know, football is a forever changing beast. We love the week in and week out drama, and you know, the things that just change over the course of the season. It's just super important to not be complacent with the guys that got you here or the cusp of the playoffs. Just because they helped you get to a point of success now does not necessarily mean these are the same people that are going to help you in the playoffs. And, you know, I just think of the people that stay attentive and keep looking to find emerging trends, both good and bad, that could affect your team. Those are the people that are going to end up winning. There's going to be some rando who's going to have a big fantasy run at the end of the year. There, you know, almost every year, there's somebody who steps up and out of the blue is really good in this final month of the season. Could be a player on a bad team that's suddenly getting time because they're thinking about next season. It could be an injury, whatever. So I say the opposite. Let's keep focused on all the emerging trends that are happening. You know, new players that are getting time, whatever it might be.
Who is that maybe this week then? If there's is there a player that maybe is still available out there?
Yes. I'll give you two names of guys that interest me that can be available in your league. First is Washington quietly has a new starting running back, Chris Rodriguez, and he's good. The kid's a bull. He's big. He's powerful. He plays hard. You can tell. I swear you can tell some guys that have spent time as a backup, and when they get on the field, it looks like they're cherishing every second. That's Chris Rodriguez, and I love it. You know, there's been this slow migration. They started with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and in the first few games of the season, he looked really good, and they got nothing done for 2 months, and now Rodriguez is just the best player. He's scored in touchdowns in three of the past four games. He's their goal line back, and the Commanders have the second easiest running back schedule going forward, including Vikings this week. The Vikings see the highest run rate of any team in the NFL. People don't want to pass against the Vikings and Brian Flores and all the exotic stuff that they do in the passing game. So, yeah, Chris Rodriguez is a name for somebody you could pick up right now that can be helpful down the stretch.
Is this one of those, like, I think I'm going to start Washington's defense. I'm a pick-and-play defensive guy anyway, Charge. Mm-hmm. Is this a start anybody against the Vikings kind of situation? Because I've been operating that way.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, it's so bad here. You know, I've been a Viking fan my whole life. I don't think I've ever had the combination of both short-term and long-term dread that I've got right now for the Minnesota Vikings, because the short-term part is this season, which is effectively over. Yeah. I don't think JJ McCarthy is going to reverse course and suddenly become a functional NFL quarterback. I don't see the traits to suggest that there's something with JJ McCarthy you can expand on and feel like that part of his game is going to get a lot better and he's going to be really good. But long-term, this is an old team. They are deeply over the cap the next 2 years due to a lot of financial mismanagement by our general manager. We're going to have to make a lot of difficult cuts. We're playing mostly on guys that were drafted by Rick Spielman 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. It's an old team. There's just, we're in a bad spot right now here in Minnesota. And yes, you can start the Commanders. As bad a defense as the Commanders is, I mean, look at the Seahawks last week. You know, Seahawks defense outscored, I don't know, half of the starting fantasy players in the league. So yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Why not?
I do want to ask Alex earlier, he's in a guillotine league, Charch. Should he listen to the advice I gave? He has Patrick Mahomes, who's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in guillotine this year. He has Jalen Hurts, who's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in guillotine this league. They both have awful matchups on paper this week against the team who allows the least and the third least amount of fantasy. I told him to pick up Jared Goff and start him against the Cowboys tonight. Is that smart?
Game on, baby.
Let's go.
I like that.
Let's go.
Tonight's game is fascinating. By the way, as a side note, it's Dallas and Detroit on a Thursday. It feels like Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's like Thanksgiving, the sequel. Speaking of Thanksgiving, the sequel, I today, 1 week after Thanksgiving, I've got one slab of turkey left. My wife thinks I'm going to give myself
what?
Time in hell if I eat it.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I think so. That thing's either going to be in the freezer or in
Charge.
The trash.
Throw that away. Just throw it out.
1 week, I mean, it's cooked. It's not like it's raw. I mean, it's in the fridge.
That fridge must stink. Your fridge must stink, Charlie.
It's delicious. Sorry. So you're on my wife's side. Don't eat it.
You should have frozen it by now.
If it turns out I'm hospitalized for next Thursday segment, you know what happened.
Yeah, we do know.
It's going to be like Homer and that sandwich episode from, I don't know, like 1998 when he couldn't stop eating the sandwich even when it grew mushrooms. It's going to be like that. The tonight's game.
Yeah.
All passing. These are two really good run defenses, including Dallas, which was not a good run defense. And they got Quinnen Williams. And now over the last month, they're one of the best run defenses. They're the second best run defense since the Quinnen Williams trade. They haven't given up a touchdown to a running back since they traded for Quinnen Williams, air or ground. And the Lions have been a great run defense all year. In fact, they've now moved to the number one position on the entire season in fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. Meanwhile, both secondaries are terrible. This is a great opportunity for the passing games of both of these. So in with the case of Goff, no Laporta. We're not sure about Brock Wright, his backup. Khalif Raymond's out, and I don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to go, but we're waiting official word on that. But I would be very surprised if he plays. Nevertheless, Jameson Williams, highest ranking ever for me. I've got him as wide receiver 9. Love him this week. And my favorite pickup and play for this week, Isaac Tesla tonight.
Tesla.
He got all the work last week after Amon-Ra St. Brown went down right at the very beginning of the game. Tesla on the field the rest of the game. And he is the starter against a bad defense that's allowed the most passing touchdowns. So, yeah, I like Goff, and I like Isaac Tesla as a super sneaky play here, too.
We're talking to Paul Charchian here on 96.5 The Fan. What about the Chargers? You know, Vidal has done a great job filling in there, but the rookie, Amarian Hampton, he's finally coming back maybe. So what does that do for that backfield? Are they both, in a weird way, not usable because of that, or how are you approaching it?
Yeah, this is going to be bad, I think, at least for a while, unfortunately. You remember at the start of the season, Hampton walked into the starter's role because Najee Harris blinded himself.
Right.
And then Hampton was cruising at 4 touchdowns in 4 games. He looked like he was going to be a great pick. And then he had this severe ankle injury, out 2 months. Now, he will come back. What they've told us, he may come back this week. If that happens, they're already bracing us for a timeshare with Kamani Vidal, and that's too bad because we hate timeshares as fantasy guys. And Vidal's been pretty good. But then here's the schedule turns brutal. You get Eagles, very good run defense. Chiefs, very good run defense. The now good Cowboys run defense we just talked about. And then Houston, a good run defense. So even going forward, if Hampton does end up getting the majority of the work, I think I'm just looking ahead at the schedule. This is the hardest schedule of any remaining team against the run. So I don't know that he's going to be helping us, which is super frustrating for anybody that's been holding him 8 weeks waiting for Amari and Hampton to come back.
Charge, the text line's asking, you'd mentioned the heroes who might save late. What are your thoughts that it could be Devin Neal or Alec Pierce? Like, there's a couple of guys who seem to be emerging at least as starters for now. Do any of those guys kind of make you think, yeah, okay.
I love Devin Neal. Love's a little strong. I like Devin Neal a lot, and he can catch. And he's got some matchups that are potentially exploitable, including this week against Tampa Bay, not the run defense they used to be. Here's the biggie on Neal, why I think you want to hold him. Championship week at Tennessee. That could be a nice matchup right there for Devin Neal and a sneaky win for your team. Alec Pierce, I'm glad you brought him up because – you know, we know Daniel Jones has been good, not as good lately as he had been earlier, but he's played well. His number one receiver over the last month has turned into Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce is now leading the Colts receivers in snaps, routes, fantasy points scored, and he's good. You know, in the past, Alex Smith was just like two bombs a game, neither of which would hit most of the time, and then that was it for Alec Pierce. But then traded away at Donnie Mitchell, and that opened up some extra snaps and routes for him. And now Pierce is getting the long passes, but he's getting intermediate stuff too, and he's making good on all of it. They get the Jaguars this week. Pierce is absolutely playable. He's wide receiver 18 this week. And then they get the Jaguars again in fantasy championship week 17.
couple people on the text line also asking about their quarterbacks. I know we want to talk about Lamar Jackson anyway. And someone said, hey, Stafford or Lamar, and then Javonte Williams or Jaylen Warren?
Well, it's Stafford for sure. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson.
MVP.
Well, yeah, probably, yes. Well, should be right now, based on what we've seen right now. How bad has it been for Lamar Jackson? So he came back a month ago off of the hamstring. Now he's been playing through knee, ankle, toe, and the hamstring injury. He's got four problems with him, and it has affected his mechanics. He does not run anymore. Over the last month, Lamar Jackson is the lowest scoring quarterback in the NFL.
Oof.
He has one touchdown. He's averaging 192 passing yards and 21 rushing yards. That's it. And the real question on Lamar Jackson is, should you drop him outright? Sabotage drop Lamar Jackson. Because had you sabotage drop Lamar Jackson a month ago, somebody else would have picked him up, started him, and taken a bunch of L's. So the question is that going to happen going forward? Where it gets a little complicated, it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati on deck. Those are favorable matchups. But if you're not going to start Lamar Jackson this week against Pittsburgh, I say drop him outright and let somebody else go, oh my God, it's Lamar Jackson. Pick him up just sort of reflexively, throw him in their lineup. And if this thing doesn't get better, he's going to kill another team. He's killing you right now.
What about Javonte and Jaylen?
Javonte Williams is a really tough matchup tonight. This is a tough spot. He is one of the true workhorse runners in the NFL. We love guys that get a lot of rushing attempts. He's fourth in that. But the problem is Detroit's allowed the fewest fantasy points to runners. No runners topped 83 yards all year. The Lions have only given up one rushing touchdown since week four, and he doesn't catch. And the Lions haven't allowed a running back reception touchdown all year. You know, just on sheer volume, you might be tempted to start Javonte Williams, but I don't love him here. I would only start him if you're in a position where you are the favorite and you just want to make sure you get like your 50 scoreless yards and he doesn't just tank for you. Javonte Williams. So that's Javonte Williams. The other side of it was.
Jaylen Warren.
Jaylen Warren, as he goes up against Baltimore. Baltimore's run defense has just been middle of the pack all year. Warren for upside, and Javonte Williams, if you just, like I said, want to get your 50 yards and just be done.
There we go. Paul Charchian, appreciate it as always, man, and good luck this week, and stay away from the turkey, please.
I don't know if I can do that. I can't make that promise.
There you go. Charge is brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. While we were talking to Charge, somebody texted and said they're literally eating week-old turkey for lunch right now, cold on a sandwich straight from the fridge. What's an immune system for?
It's just too old. You gotta let it go.
A week straight out of the fridge.
A week is maximum for any leftover, but I think turkey's shelf life is shorter.
A week?
I think it gets. Look, it's not one that ages.
Your body is
well.
A temple, and I don't know if you're.
Hope you have readily available access to the bathroom, sir, or whoever's texting in.
Sir or ma'am.
Yep, whoever. Yep.
Let's not make any judgments.
That's true. That's fair. All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. And, of course, over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, where we live stream the show 4 hours every single day and all 12 hours, obviously, during there, plus extra content over on YouTube. So like and subscribe over there. Question of today relates to the holidays. As we're quickly approaching this, I was getting into a conversation with just like a fellow adult, and we had drastically different answers to this. I said that weird. and we had different answers to this, and I think different people's life circumstances change this. But I am curious what you think is a reasonable number. Right now, I told you I got a kid who's 9 and 7. What do you think a reasonable amount of money to spend per kid is for presents?
Wow.
Because this is a very interesting debate, and I think people give dramatically different answers. I've seen people say $1,000 per kid, and I think that that's insane.
So, for starters, like, clearly the elephant in the room, it depends on your financial situation, right?
Let's just say because a middle-class individual.
What Patrick Mahomes is giving his kids for Christmas is a little bit different what you're giving your kids, right? Yeah. I mean, like, so...
Yeah. That's why I said reasonable for an average American.
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think... I really, I mean, you have kids, so I don't know what you've been doing.
What do you drop per nephew?
What's the going rate per
75 ish. 70.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, this year. That wasn't the case. This year, it was a little bit more just the way things worked out. So, yeah, 70, 75 is what I'm giving for each nephew.
That's what you try to budget
out? The gifts will be right around there, yeah.
What do you think your parents spend on you?
I mean, I know the answer.
Oh, they've got a budget?
Yeah, people are going to text in and be like, why are they still doing this for you?
If parents want to buy their kids presents, right,
am I supposed to say no? We each get on average gift accumulation of like $350 to $400.
Okay, man, still?
Yeah.
Dang!
I'm spoiled.
Yeah. Honestly, if anything, it might go up as your circumstances change. Yeah. Over in the text line so far, I see $250, $400, $600, $200. Somebody says only 100 per kid is their normal range. I think 100.
I was thinking genuinely,
I don't think you can make it happen for 100. It's impossible.
I figured you would be spending 300 on each one of your kids.
I think I like the idea of being in the, I'd say 2 to 250 range. I think it's harder than I want it to be in that range. And what do you do in a year where let's say you're going to finally buy it and the kid's going to get the PS5 or the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
I almost try to keep those off the holidays so I can keep the rest of it reasonable. I'm also a big proponent of they get clothes, they get books, they get some things that they're getting whether they like it or not, right? The books, the clothes, that kind of stuff. Things that I like to make sure, something you need, something to read, that kind of motto we still stick with. So it's like, how much am I spending on toys or a game or a video game? One Nintendo Switch game is $70. Mm-hmm. So like, if I keep it to 250, it's like once I'm in one Nintendo Switch game, I'm essentially
screwed.
That is
probably the challenge. Yeah, I could see that. Someone said it truly just depends also how many kids you have. I mean, if you had five kids, you're not probably spending $500 on each kid. You're just not going to afford that.
You're the Taft family. Got seven kids. Can't be 500 per.
What do you think?
ZM
the answer
over on Twitch says 200 or less, and then we can get your answer. They said 200 or less for a big item, then one thing to read, one thing they need, one thing they want. So like, they get them the big gift. And then, but my kids don't have the concept of the big gift yet of the around 200. So,
I mean, this answer, there's really no right or wrong answer. It truly depends on your situation and how many kids, etc.
You get one hoodie they want at 60, 70, 80
What do you
bucks.
Think? What do you think would be a fair, or what do you, I guess, as a kid or now or whatever, what do you think you're getting? Or do you have nephews, Drew? I can't remember.
No.
Okay. Never mind then. I was just trying to see.
But we have, just from growing up, we always got, anywhere from 2 to 4 things we wanted, depending, I guess, on the cost of that. Obviously, stocking stuff or stuff. But then we would always get, there'd be one big thing that we got either collectively as a group of siblings, like we'd get a game system collectively for the three of us that we would have, or it would be one bigger thing like a bike or something like that is bigger than the things that we asked for.
Did you guys get the? I knew a family whose big gift they always opened on Christmas Eve. Were you guys a?
Oh no, we never did.
I was like, no, I one a
did
night.
Did you get the big gift on? It's funny. Hanukkah night one?
It's funny as a
where's the big gift? 1 or 8?
So it depends. And sometimes my parents would tell me like which one to open on a certain night because they knew one was a different present than the other. So as a kid, I had to do one present a night, 8 nights. Now as an adult, we just all do it once because it's when everybody can get together. So we don't do the one night to get what gift one night.
Do you still get 8?
No.
Okay.
No,
I didn't know if it's 8 specific.
We don't do that at this point in time. No.
Someone says 9-year-old, 1,000-ish. 3-year-old, 500 to 700. 10-month-old, like 150 to 200 because they need less stuff. Someone's like, dude, just the clothes alone can be $100. Mm. It's tough because I think I could get talked into you get a big gift. And in most years, that's sub 200. Maybe there's a year where you guys get together and you get a PS5 or whatever. Mm-hmm, but you said, it's a group. We all got a Super Nintendo as a family one year, right? We got game systems sometimes as a unit because you get 7 kids worth of entertainment for one price. So maybe that does it. But I can't get on board. 500? I don't think I can drop 500 a kid.
Like I said, it depends on, I mean, truly, like, is that person, is their household income 300 grand or is it 100 grand? Like, it depends. I think everybody's going to be in a different spot. Yeah.
I think my mother-in-law and father, they might spend 200-300 per kid. They might be dropping as much as we are. I don't know.
Oh, the grandparents are spoiling the hell out of the grandchildren. So the dollar amount there is going to be way higher than
That's why keep yours low. make it about like one thing that you like. You don't need to be in the $200 range per nephew.
Oh, but I'm not.
And I told you, I can't, we have to do, just cash or that thing. Like, I got too many nieces and nephews. There's no way to get individual gifts for all of them.
Someone said, gold made me feel better about my parents still spending $400 on us. Yeah, it's, like I said, that's just what they've done.
Some people's parents still do that. Every year, my in-laws ask us what we want. Or, my dad might get some small stuff.
We don't get like a ton on that side, but also there's like a million of us.
Let me ask you the real question people want to know. I'm putting you on the spot, Cody. You're putting us on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What do you spend for your wife? What do you do for a gift for your wife? No, what does she do for you?
I'll say no specific budget. There's been years when we just go get like one really nice dinner together because we like to eat out at, you know, good places or whatever. So some years we've just done that and not really done anything but stocking stuff. It varies wildly. There's been years in which I've spent hundreds and hundreds of, you know, like several hundred dollars because that's the gift I wanted to get. There's years where I might spend like $80 to $100, depending. This year I've spent, including stocking, like $150. It depends. She very rarely
she carried in the damn
things.
Christmas tree for you. She that better be, it better be more.
She very rarely wants for things. Yeah. She doesn't like the consumerism part of Christmas. So if I went out and spent $500, she'd probably be a little pissed at me. I'm probably better off spending in like a reasonable range.
That's the way that my mom or my dad will get too many things. I don't know what the cost is or whatever, but my dad will get a good amount of things. And my mom's like, what are you doing getting me all of this stuff? Why are you doing this? Like, she isn't like mad, I guess, but in a way she's like, why am I getting all these things I didn't ask for, you know?
I will say the only thing that I say that is kind of my firm rule on it for what I buy is, I never buy things for her for Christmas that are for both of us, right? Let's say there's like a kitchen utensil or a thing that we like. I don't want to buy gifts that are like both of us use this thing. If I'm going to buy a gift for Christmas, I want it to be like a thing that is for her, not for like the two of us, unless we're going to go out and get like dinner or something. So
that is the random question of the day. Up next, I want to get back into what national commentators are already saying about Patrick Mahomes if he misses the postseason. And it is a Thursday. It might have felt like Cody was giving us a little bit of a lesson there during the random question of the day. But no. Professor Tapp has a new lesson that we'll all find out about in about 20 minutes.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.